Aboriginal midwifery can be explained in many different ways, but I'm going to explain it the way that I use it, I guess you could say. So I'm an Aboriginal midwife that practices under the exemption clause in Ontario. And so, like, I'm not affiliated with any college, and I don't, like, I'm not a registered midwife. And that's by choice for me. That works for our practice and for our community. It means that we have that autonomy and we have that ability to practice more of what the community wants us to be like, what we need to be like, what they're telling us they want us to be like. Hopefully, that's really hard to please, right? A whole community, and as well as all the other communities we serve too, as well. But that's our goal. But it's about giving holistic care and holistic, culturally appropriate care across the whole childbearing cycle. But not even just that, because there's so many times, like, you get calls and texts and pages and visits. When you're in a restaurant, a local restaurant, lots of families will come up to you and say, "Hey, what can I do for this? My daughter's two, and I want to wean her now, or maybe I think I might have a urinary tract infection or whatever." So you have to remember, you have to remind them all the time, I'm only a midwife, I'm only a midwife, but this is what you could do, natural remedies, but you really should see your doctor too as well. But it's like so many different, it's caring for so many different people in so many different settings, like, and just being so approachable and down to earth and honest, and to know that it's so important, like, to, I guess you could say, to be humble, because really it's a gift that we're given, this gift of midwifery. For some reason, the Creator felt that it was something that I should do, I guess, And so, and I remember, like I said, my midwife, one of my midwives, Elizabeth Silversmith, what she said is that, we're all given gifts, and when we don't listen to what those gifts are, the Creator's hurt. So, like, she says that it's important to fulfill those gifts and to carry that out if you can, and to nurture them when you see them in somebody, And so that's how I care, that's how I think of it so much, Like, and to us, like, Aboriginal midwifery here at the center, like, it's either at home or at the birthing center here, right? That's the only place we do births. And they're more free to, like, it seems like they're really free to be who they are. You know what I mean? Like, if they only want to use their own language at the birth, then they do, And even they'll even ask us sometimes, "I don't want any English spoken in my birth." It's not like we all of the midwives here have just a little basic knowledge of the language, but we get pretty good at, pointing with our lips or nodding or sign language or something, because we want to accommodate that, And you can see the moment English is spoken, it just throws everything off. The whole birth is different, her concentration's different, everything changes, like, if that's what she's requested. And they might do different kind of things here, like different ceremonies. Like, it's really common for people to do a welcoming speech for their baby after it's born. And in the hospital setting, if, say, for example, there was a, for some reason they had to be transferred to the hospital because they became high risk, then you'll see everything gets put off. Like, even though we try to advocate for that, they'll wait until everybody leaves the room. When the doctors or the nurses leave the room, and then they close the door, and then they do their welcoming speech in private. With us in there usually, though. And then as soon as, if somebody walks in, they stop, Like, because they feel like it's, I'm not sure why they do it, but maybe it's because they feel that it's not a safe environment or a protected environment, You know, it's something private. It's very private for them. And so to be privy to that private world is it's a really big privilege, you know, and it's an honor. And that's the other thing about being an Aboriginal midwife. I think it really is. It's an honor. Every time a woman asks me, you know, will you be my midwife, or I get a chance to come to somebody's birth and they say thank you, I'm like, you know, really? I'm so honored that you let me be here, and I'm so thankful and grateful. I said, I can't tell you enough how thankful that you let me be part of this beautiful, miraculous, you know, experience, you know, to watch your baby take its first breath, or to watch you become a mother right before my eyes is so beautiful. And so that's just some of the things, you know, like it's incorporating language, it's incorporating culture, it's incorporating traditions and family, and being able to know when you can keep when you need to keep the air light, you know, with some jokes or, you know, those kind of things, and to not rush things and to let them do things at their own pace. That's what we've found a lot here, is that you have to break down the barriers, because we already know that we're way overrepresented in different medical problems, you know, and so what we need to do as part of the community we serve is to find ways to break down those barriers, because we've lived them ourselves and we know what the barriers are. And so once we break down the barriers, they're more likely to access care, and they're more likely to be compliant with recommendations too as well. And they might be more likely to tell us if they have problems, you know, like maybe they have poor access to food, or they have some domestic issues, or whatever it is, you know. So